Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. Jay Posner, sports editor of the Union Tribune, joins me. Jay, I feel like we have a lot to talk about, and then I feel like we have talked about so much of what we're going to talk about already with the Padres, but they are preparing to play the Pittsburgh Pirates three games Petco Park to finish up this homestand, coming off their first series loss in four series. We can talk about that. Jay, where do you want to start? Because I always want to know where you want to start.
Well, they've lost two straight home series
because
they also lost to the Cubs the last time they were here. So that's obviously a concern. I don't think they can avoid playing 81 games at home this year. I believe that's required by baseball law. So they're going to have to figure out a way to, I guess, score some runs at home. First of all, I mean, they did score 10 in those final two games against the Cubs and lost one of them anyway. But you know, this was a pretty sad series against the Brewers from an offensive standpoint, scoring just five runs. Tried to win a series with five runs for the second time in basically a week. Not usually advisable to try that too often. You know, the cynic in me, and I know you don't usually find me cynical, but I can't wait to hear about all the great pitching that the Pirates have after the Padres score, you know, six runs in three games this weekend. And we get to hear, oh, well, you know, they got some great arms over there. Yeah, they do. But they're also the Pirates, and they're 18 and 25. And you know, this is the kind of series that you're supposed to win. I mean, the Padres did win the series in Pittsburgh. They let the one game get away in that. I think it was the Saturday night game in Pittsburgh. One of those that I'm sure was fun for you, especially with three stories going at the same time. But I guess we should start with the offense, right?
They have
basically a one with Eric Hosmer slumping, sort of, I guess, maybe, or maybe just regressing to the mean. I think last time I looked, he was like 7 for his last 40 or something in that range. I mean, they're down to pretty much a one man offense and then hoping that other guys, you know, chip in here and there, which guys do occasionally, but nobody has done on a consistent basis.
Well, yeah, right. Until that Milwaukee series, it was somehow someone or some two guys stepped up. And even, you know, if Manny had an off night, they won a couple games. And that was great. And it was super impressive. And let's talk about it in the present tense. It is super impressive because two games doesn't mean it's over. But it's also worrisome because, like, winning games with, you know, pitching, hitting, or pitching, defense, and timely hitting, that's the ideal. And that's not baseball anymore. Like, you know, I mean, to win.
Well, it's getting back to it a little bit with the way that the offense is down around the league. Sure. But I know what you mean. You still, this offense should be better than it is at home. I mean, we talk about the offense, and overall, I think they're still in the top 10 or whatever in runs scored. But 12th. It's 12th. Okay, but it's concerning. Sure. That they're not scoring at home, and this is not Petco circa 2004. I mean, Petco is not the pitcher's park that it was. It's I would call it a fair park, probably a little bit leaning toward the pitchers, especially when the weather's been as cool as it's been. But it's still not. You should be able to score some runs here, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Yes, and the Padres are one of the better teams in the league at when they allow four or fewer runs. And that's what, like, I'm assuming is very frustrating for them is, man, like that's we're this close, but gosh, we've been talking about that. Jay, I don't even know what the solution is, except for guys like Jake Cronenworth to start hitting. Honestly, Will Myers appeared like he was on a little bit of something, but a little bit of a Will Myers run, but last couple games, not good. Luke Voit appeared like it, but you know, I think we probably get used to Luke Voit being a strikeout or hard hit single. And maybe eventually those will start to be home runs every once in a while. Yeah, it's Manny and everyone else.
I think Voit, you know, the stats that our producer put up on the screen for those watching, you know, Voit has a .333 on base percentage, which is fine, especially I think the way the league is right now, you wouldn't really complain about that. The problem is he has a .310 slugging percentage. And that's, you know, that's one of your guys that you're expecting to be, you know, up around 500 probably, or in that range. Myers is another guy that, you know, hasn't produced so far. And I know there used to be sort of an old saw about, you know, you wait till Memorial Day to find out what you are, I think. Now the season started a little bit later this year, so maybe we have to wait another week, but you know, Memorial Day is Monday, and we're getting to the point where guys like, you know, Cronenworth's not doing enough. Voigt's not doing enough. Myers isn't doing enough. Profar's not doing enough. Nola's not doing enough. Grisham isn't doing anything. So, I mean, you know, Ha-Sung Kim has been okay, but you're not counting on Ha-Sung Kim's offense. And I know that Tatis is going to be back at some point. You know, I don't know when that is. I'll believe June when I see it. I hope that's right. But, you know, I almost feel like we'll be lucky if we see him before the All-Star break. And that's not based on anything other than my natural cynicism at whatever the Padres have said about injuries during the AJ Preller era. It always seems to be longer. So we'll see. It'd be great if he's back in June. Better, you know, it'd be good if he's back by the 4th of July. We'll see what happens. But he's one guy. And if he comes back, that's great. But somebody else is going to have to do something on a consistent basis.
And I remember when Joe Musgrove said that it'd be great if the team was rolling when Tatis came back. So it wasn't this gigantic pressure cooker for him and then for everybody else to be like, oh, we're fine now because we kind of know how that works out, right? Like, you know, Fernando had a great season last year. He tried to carry the team when things went badly at the end. And you know, I'm not blaming him at all. Or anybody else, they all share in this collective blame. But like, he's one guy, and they can't, the rest of them, like Manny be hitting 320 and the rest of them be hitting 204, and then Tatis comes in and solves everything. So now they do have a couple relievers coming back, but again, like, you just, that's all well and good, but you want the team that's here now to be performing on a more consistent basis. And the fact that, what is it 12 games over now that they are 28-16?
Correct.
That's a darn good record. And you know what? Yes, they've played some bad teams. You know who else has played some bad teams? The Dodgers. Teams with good records right now have played bad teams. I saw a stat the other day that last night was the first time the Yankees have played the Rays. They've played the Orioles 13 times. Like, if you have a really good record right now, I'm going to go ahead and bet you haven't been playing the other teams that are, you know, tops in the league. And yeah, as of now, the Padres are 4-2 in their last six games against the Giants. That was on the road, swept them, and mm-hmm. the Brewers, who lead the National League Central. And that is a really good team. That is top to bottom. Like, that Ashby kid, I took him lightly. And that kid was throwing gas and, like, off speed that will – look, he was facing the Padres, and they can't hit. We've established that. But he seemed pretty good. And he's kind of – he was like a fill-in starter at one point for them. So that's a really good team.
Well, and they didn't even have Josh Hader.
Didn't have Josh Hader. You're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, we talked about him. Oh, guys are 2-44 against Josh Hader. He doesn't play, and Devin Williams – or he doesn't pitch, and Devin Williams looked like, you know, the Devin Williams of a couple of years ago and had little trouble – sort of brushing aside the Padres. So, yeah, I mean, I think what you mentioned, you're not seeing a lot of teams playing each other. The Giants just played the Mets, kind of a crazy series this past week. You know, the Dodgers are playing the Diamondbacks right now. I think they had 38 hits last night or something close to that. So, you know, we're just not seeing that. But we are seeing with the Padres, they have the Pirates Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then we won't be back doing this until Tuesday. They're going to start a series in St. Louis on Monday, which is going to start a road trip. I think we mentioned last time where you're going to have St. Louis and Milwaukee back to back. So that's a big trip against two good teams and teams that are tough to beat at home. And we'll learn a little more about the Padres. And again, it's not like whatever happens that they go 7-0, that means they're the greatest team ever. If they go 0-7, they're the worst team ever. But it's just something to sort of focus on as the season progresses, sort of these moments where you think, okay, I got these two teams, and then they have the Mets coming in, I believe, after that, which is another way of saying this is a pretty good weekend to pick up some wins. because it's not going to get any easier over the next 9 or 10 games after this.
So what you've got is you've got Sean Manaea tonight. You've got Joe Musgrove tomorrow, Mackenzie Gore on Sunday. Padres are facing lefty Jose Quintana. And this is the kind of lefty they like to face, not Aaron Ashby. The Padres are terrible against high velocity. This kid, Quintana, throws in the low 90s, unlike Ashby, who throws in the mid-high 90s. And Padres rake against lefties, by and large. Now, a lot of that has been on the road, so we'll see. And then tomorrow, J.D. Brubaker, who they did okay against. I think it was like 3 runs in 5 innings in Pittsburgh. I don't think he had the May game, so I guess it was last month. They finished up that series May 1st. And then righty Ronzi Contreras, who will be making his second start. So, yeah, this is not Corbin Burns, okay? This is not Corbin Burns they're facing.
It's not, and yet the guy on Sunday, Ronzi, which is a name I guess that's how you pronounce it. It's a great name. I've never heard it before, but he's the kind of guy you just know. You're just thinking, okay, that guy's going to go six and give up 2 runs or less. Maybe. I mean, it just has that. He just has that feel. excuse me, of a guy that the Padres are going to go, what do we do against this guy? I don't know. That's a game I would to look say forward that, to. That, two really young, promising, obviously the promising pitchers with Mackenzie Gore, and we can get to pitching in a minute. Gore continuing to pitch extremely well.
Yeah, I would say that you've watched too much Padres baseball over the years, and you're. I would say sure, coming off of or how they're doing right now, it'd be hard to argue against you. I have seen them. That's been one of the differences this year is they've sort of taken care of business against this type of pitcher. Maybe not to the point you would think like, you know, like the ideal that we have in our mind of 7 or 8 runs and getting the guy out in 2 innings. But yes, for years and years, it was like, who is this guy holding the Padres to 1 hit over 6 innings? But all right, let's talk about pitching, Jay, because we're being awful negative about a team that is 12 games over 500. Tonight, Sean Manaea. And when Sean Manaea is like your number 5 pitcher, and because look, this guy just keeps giving you innings, which is awesome. My goodness, I still say that that's going to turn out to be one of the big moves of the year because of whatever he does. If this guy has a 4.20 ERA, but he throws 180 innings, then I say that, and I'm not saying he's going to have a 4.2, but I say that that's great. But Sean Manaea has a penchant for giving up the long ball, man. That's just what we've seen so far. And then Joe Musgrove, don't think we have to worry about that, though eventually one of these times the Padres are going to lose a game that he pitches.
Yeah, I guess the odds are pretty good that that'll happen. And you certainly wouldn't bet on it happening tomorrow. And
he's just developed so much. It's like he has everything now.
He's walked 9 guys. I mean, you know, in 8 starts?
Yes.
And he's walked 9 guys. That's pretty solid. His ERA is under 2, his whip's under 1. I mean, he's been amazing for, you know, I mean, most of the time he's been here actually, but especially this year, even better. You're right. I mean, when Manaea is your 4 or 5, maybe he's your 4 guy, because I don't know who the 5 guy is at this point. Although, you know, Blake Snell was fine the other night. I mean, I thought he should never have been allowed to come out for the 6th inning. I thought they should have just taken the 5 and been happy with it, because the way he pitches, I didn't see him getting through the 6th all the way. And so now you're just hoping that he gets a guy or two out. I don't know. It just, to me, and that was something I don't like to come on here and second guess. I first guessed that move. I just didn't like that he was coming back out there to face the guys that he was up against. And now he exits with a couple guys on, and now, you know, Stammen's got to do some sort of, you know, escape act with runners on, which he's been pretty good at. And he made a bad pitch and it basically cost them. But I thought, you know, what Snell did the other night was encouraging. And, you know, the only thing is that his next start and maybe 2 starts, because he's probably lined up to pitch. Is he lined up to pitch Monday?
He would be Monday. I was just thinking about that, as a matter of fact. Snell would be Monday.
So he's liable to pitch both games, both in both cities on the road. And, you know, what we saw on the road last year was certainly not encouraging. But again, it's a new year, so we'll see what happens. But, you know, Manaea, he hasn't been terrible. He just seems to have sort of that one stretch in a game where, you know, a couple hits. And then, as you said, the long ball bites him. And we'll see what happens tonight. Again, I'm sure it's going to be a relatively cool weekend at Petco, and which will help the pitchers as much as it hurts the Padre offense. But looking forward to seeing all those guys pitch for various reasons, and especially Gore, because I just think we're sort of witnessing whereas Musgrove, we're witnessing a guy in the middle of his career getting really good. We're getting to witness Gore as a guy at the start of his career who looks like he could go on to, you know, really be a star in this game.
Yeah, Mackenzie Gore has looked really good. And here's the part that to me is super promising. Because you want to just put it into context, and Chris Paddock pitched amazing in 2019, and you thought, okay, he's going to get a third pitch, and and he's going to be even better, and there's going to be no turning back, because look at what this guy did with that fastball, so good, and he look what he did with two pitches. Well, that third pitch never really developed, and whatever else happened with Chris. Mackenzie Gore has those pitches. He hasn't been able to put them all together, but there have been times where you're like, that changeup is unbelievable. Whoa, that curve, that's getting guys out. And he's sequencing and he's learning how to do that. And that's what his teammates are talking about, is they're watching him, is like, he's learning how to do that. He has those pitches already. And that's where you go, okay. I mean, I don't know that this guy's going to end up the season with an ERA at 2.5, but that's where you go, dang, this guy is really super good. Regarding that thing, regarding the other night, Jay, the one thing I'll say is, look, Craig Stammen had been pitching really well. The sinker had been on five outings, and you're thinking, okay, we got a guy on first, and we got a force out somewhere. We can feel pretty good about Craig. We have to trust Craig Stammen in that situation, because we know what the state of our bullpen is right now. And so he was trying, but I agree with you. There's been three or four times this year you go, all right, as much as like, I'm kind of trusting what Bob Melvin is doing, is this too much?
It happened with Manaea in Atlanta as well. I just remember that game where I think he went seven, he had struck out 12. And I think they tried to get like one or two more outs out of him in the eighth, and it ended up leading to a big inning for the Braves, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's been a couple times where it's worked out as well.
Yes, I mean,
I'm not saying that it doesn't work. It just, with Snell, it just felt wrong the other night. And look, I think Stammen's done a pretty good job for most of the year, but, and he got beat on a pitch that wasn't the sinker. That's probably more aggravating for probably him most of all, as well as the other, his teammates and everything, is that he got beat on the pitch that's not his pitch. And he hung it and Taylor, I think, that hit it out. So, you know, there's that. And I guess, you know, the bullpen seems to be kind of the same. You don't know what you're going to get each time you go out there. I think, you know, Chris Matt's been good. Robert Suarez has been pretty good. Garcia, you never quite know. And if they can just get to Taylor Rogers, you know, everything always seems to end up well when Taylor Rogers is on the mound.
Yeah, the stats aren't good. The feeling isn't good. I mean, they have not been reliable, one of the least reliable bullpens. And that means, you know what that means? That means they've blown five games, like it late in the season. Like that's not like they're terrible all the time. They actually get it done far more than they don't get it done. But what's in your mind is those like five or six times where they're leading or tied in the seventh inning, and then they blow it. And that's all it takes. And Luis Garcia has been in the middle of a lot of those. And hey, look, like a lot of relievers, Luis Garcia's got great stuff. It's about commanding it. It's about getting the first pitch strike. If you wonder how Craig Stammen has been in this league so long, throwing 91, it's first pitch strike and locating. Luis Garcia's got way better stuff than Craig Stammen.
Sure.
It's about, you know, being a better pitcher. I think Drew Pomeranz has a chance to be back early to mid-June. I think Adrian Morejon, who's pitching really well and would be a really good 2 to 3 inning guy out of the bullpen. Yeah. I think that's the plan for him. And Michel Baez. Now, like we said earlier, or I said, like, I think those are all really good. And if I didn't mention Jose Castillo. If one or two of those four guys are reliable, their bullpen got better.
Yeah, and I was going to say, I don't even think you need to count on the odds of all four of them, you know, showing up and being lights out are not very good. But if you could get two of them to come in and be reliable, I think that changes a lot of things, especially Pomerantz. I mean, when we've seen what he can do when he's healthy. And you talk about needing we've talked a lot about the bridge between the starters and Rodgers. I mean, he's the best guy for that. When he's healthy, obviously the issue has been he hasn't been able to stay healthy long enough. But man, his stuff is so good when he's right. And the hope, of course, for them is that he comes back like he has been when healthy the last couple of years.
There has been no better reliever down there when he's healthy. Now he's pitched like 40 games.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, 38 of them were just okay, Drew Pomeranz is absolutely unhittable. So that's something I would have a very high level of confidence when Drew Pomeranz comes back. So
let me go back to hitting real quick, because I do wonder, and I mentioned Memorial Day is sort of a marker in everything. At what point, and I'm not even saying that they have any alternatives in the system or on the roster or anything, but at what point, and maybe they've passed that point, by giving Azokar a few more games lately, but at what point does Trent Grisham become oh my God, this guy's hopeless. And what are we going to do for center field the rest of the year? Not just the long-term, which they've counted on, but just the rest of the year. Because, you know, yeah, he gets an occasional hit, but my God, he's still hitting 157 and almost no power, not getting on base. I mean, at what point does that become a huge, I'm sure it's a concern. At what point does it become a huge concern?
Sometime before the trade deadline. I mean, I don't know, because I don't know what you do. I mean, you do have, I guess, down in the minors, you have a couple options. I don't know what you do. There is a Azokar, like tonight, you know. Now Grisham was off on Wednesday. He came in, got a pinch hit. That was nice. Yep. Struck out to end the game, but got a pinch hit. That's nice. It was a good hit. And then off yesterday. And so then would Grisham sit again today against the lefty? I would imagine so, that Jose Azokar would be in there. But then you got two righties coming up. I don't think you go to Azokar all the time. So
no.
You are already, maybe you've already said to yourself, this is, we can't keep doing this. I don't know. We've had this conversation several times. I don't know what you do about it. I really don't.
Yeah.
And there was not too long ago that they thought that Trent Grisham was going to be their center fielder for a while. Not like they were going to throw a bunch of money at him, but they were willing to have Trent Grisham, you know, buy out a year or two of his free agency and be, mm-hmm. have him be the guy. Now, he didn't want a team-friendly deal. He bet on himself. That's not looking great right now. But, yeah, Jay, it's really bad. And I've said it before a lot of times. I'm a big Trent Grisham guy. And I see a lot of stuff, but it's bizarre. Like, I've never seen a guy whose strength works against him so much.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And I was just curious, because it just doesn't, kind of like when it was April, you're like, okay, he's off to a slow start, but it's going to get better. And they're just, you know, a couple times it looked like, yeah, maybe it's going to get better, but it just hasn't. And I mean, we've talked many times, mostly in relation to the bullpen, is sort of what's the answer. And there really isn't generally much of an answer in terms of going outside to get somebody, because what's available, what are you going to have to give up, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't know what the answer is, but I just wonder, it has to be something that they're looking at and could end up being a big focus, especially if a couple of those pitchers can come back. Maybe pitching becomes less of a focus at the deadline and it becomes more on finding a center fielder. Because there really isn't anyone... There really isn't anyone else that can play the position. I mean, Profar, they tried him out there. He's not a center fielder. Will Myers, I mean, he could do it, but again.
But what about the bat? Like what you're talking about is you want to introduce a new bat to this lineup.
Yeah.
And I do think that it could, you know, sooner than later be Nomar Mazara, but is that the one that pushed, you know, you changes your lineup greatly? No, it's just better than 157, you would hope. You would hope that you could call up anyone to hit better than 157. So.
Yeah, but I, you know, again, I'm not sure who all is there. It's funny, a guy, Jack Suwinski's coming in this weekend with the Pirates who has, I think, 5 or 6 home runs. He's also batting 188. So I'm not sure there was, you could say, oh my gosh, we should have held on to Jack Suwinski. So we'll see where it goes. I do want to mention a local guy coming home this weekend, Cal Mitchell from Rancho Bernardo High for the Pirates. Always seems like the Pirates have some San Diego guys. He was a second round pick out of RB High in 2017. Got called up this week, just this week, to make his debut, and I'm sure he's excited to be able to come home and play this weekend at Petco.
And David Bednar's coming back. He's the Pirates' closer.
He's perfect. I think he's 8 for 8 in save
now,
chances.
I think it's a little easier to be the Pirates' closer. I'm not taking anything away from David Bednar. I guess I am, but I don't mean to.
I don't know. Isn't it more pressure, though, because you have so few opportunities? Maybe, you know, you don't know when your next one's going to come.
Yes, but the postseason is not on the line. You're not thinking that. Now, look, he's doing incredible. And I would say David Bednar is another guy that they just had no spot for. Come on. And they use him in a trade, and that is what it is. But I do think that the Padres have a thought that, wow, David Bednar is better than we thought he was.
Yeah.
It happens. What are you going to do?
Well, it should be, as always, a fun weekend.
Fireworks tomorrow night, 7:10 start.
Yeah, 7:10 start. I think there's a giveaway for beach towels tonight and another a puppy calendar on Sunday.
My goodness. Really bringing it out for the Pirates. That's what used to happen when the Padres went on the road. It's why I have so many bobbleheads. Because every time the Padres were in town, when they stunk, there was a giveaway. So, hey, the Pirates coming in go, wait a minute, we got 3 giveaways on fireworks?
Fireworks. Exactly. So we'll have that. You will be on your way to St. Louis for an afternoon game on Monday. And since it's a holiday, we will, and a day game, we will come back and talk on Tuesday about what happened over the holiday weekend. So everybody have a good weekend. Enjoy the holiday. Stay safe.
Thanks, everybody.